Movie Pipe.
Movie Pipe.
Movie Pipe.
Movie Pipe.
Say it.
Say it. Say it.
Movie Pipe.
Movie
Pipe.
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 Movie Pipe.
Movie
Pipe to Pipe Bushman.
We've got to return some videotapes.
Paul GPT has done the dirty on me, GG, and Mr. Will Chinners, my frequently absent co-host of
Movie Pulp.
We've had to change providers how we record this thing. We were using something called Anchor, which was then acquired by Spotify, and now Spotify has stopped supporting that product, so we have to use this thing called Riverside. Quite frankly, my dear, I don't give a Riverside. It's a joke for it's a multi-layered meta joke for my British listeners. Our British listeners, there's probably about one or two of them, isn't there? It's a mashup of Alan Partridge and Lord of the Dance guy, Michael Flatley. I digress. This episode is about the 2023 movie called Floppenheimer. Now, not many people have seen Floppenheimer. In fact, nobody has seen Floppenheimer, because Floppenheimer isn't a real movie. It's an artifice. It's a spoof. It's a parody of Oppenheimer. Or as I called it, Offenheimer, because I've seen the fucking thing about 275 times. It's literally the greatest movie ever put on a movie screen, preferably a CRT monitor, aka PMAX. Now, we're big fans of Christopher Nolan over at Movie Pipe, to the extent that we get a bit emotional when we watch Nolan's movies, because they resonate with our brains. And Floppenheimer. Nobody's seen it because it doesn't exist. Because Oppenheimer was an absolute giant of a movie. It made, or will make, close to $1 billion. This is a 3-hour R-rated portrait of a man that really not, I guess, our generation, the younger generation, millennial, Gen Z certainly, maybe didn't have a real understanding of who J. Robert Oppenheimer was. So this movie isn't really a history lesson, but it certainly presents some historical information that I certainly wasn't aware of, all of it, and it made me want to read more. Will, I don't know, he said he's seen it, but we really don't know if that's true until we get the report back, and in our project management system that Paul was good enough to leave us before he transmogrified into an artificial intelligent. He left us a project management tool where we plan out every episode. That's obviously where, you know, every episode is scripted. I have to re-record an episode if I don't follow the script. I know it sounds like it's made up, but that's the point. It's incredibly well-crafted content. Every word, every phrase, every pause, every alien guest is deliberate, and we are on the absolute precipice of each episode collapsing, because if I go off script, off piste, even now this was scripted. This bit and 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 this bit. The repetition was scripted ahead of time. One of our writers sat down and scripted it. Even the spelling, like how I say script, I put a W, it's script. That's written down. I have to say it exactly as it appears on the screen. Do you not understand? This is a digital version of bondage. I've made a deal with the devil, the digital devil. And Paul GPT, he's blissfully off in the cyber realm, getting his large language model polished by some sprite. And we're left here on planet Earth having to put our analog sounds into a digital machine. It's bad enough that I have to fax over my breakfast order, let alone record my voice into a bloody box that then gets put onto a people's phones, and they put things in their ears and they listen to it, or they have it on speaker. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine, dear listener, dear pipe head, if you're a pipe head who walks around listening to episodes of Movie Pipe on your mobile phone device or iPad or whatever, and you don't have headphones on and you have that just playing on the speaker, I salute you. You're doing God's work. You really should text in, SMS in, and we'll make sure we take care of you, because you're behaving as an influencer, aren't you? You're influencing other people. Perhaps they're on the bus, the train, the subway, a plane, a car, at the homeless shelter, wherever it is you hang out, wherever it is you spend time listening to Movie Pipe, which we're very grateful for. You're influencing other people, aren't you? They're like, what's that? That sounds like some bizarro unscripted pod. Is it a podcast? Well, it said, and this is what you say back to him, is like, well, I receive it through a podcast. I'm not sure if it is a podcast. The host, so you can hear now this guy speaking, who's doing interpretation of me, the actual listener in this situation, in this story, he tells us, he calls us pipeheads, and he tells us that this is a podcast. But now I think about it, I'm doing the listener still. Now I think about it, he says to the other street person, we're not sure if it's a podcast, or it's a figment of our imagination, or it's a delusion, or it's a nightmare. Which brings me to J. Robert Oppenheimer, who had visions of the inner workings of the universe at the atomic quantum level, didn't he? Like Kenneth Branagh said to him, who was portraying the, I think it's Dutch or Danish, he did a really good voice, and I was, Niels Bohr, Robert, can you feel the music? He asked him, you don't have to read the music, you just have to feel it. And that's really how I practice my life. I often get myself out of many a scrape by insisting that it's all about feeling, not knowing. Now, when it comes to a school exam, you often don't get very far, dear pipehead, by simply feeling the answer. You actually have to write it down. And that's why I was expelled from 17 schools. Anyway, Floppenheimer, which is again a parody spoof version of Oppenheimer, because Oppenheimer has turned into one of the most important, significant pieces of public art, really. This is not just cinema anymore. This is not just a night at the movies. This is fucking peak art. This is Nolan operating as an auteur. This is Nolan shepherding a group of today's best and brightest cinematic talent. Good Lord. And I really hope he cleans up at the Oscars. I think Nolan winning Best Director or Best Film for Oppenheimer at this year's Academy Awards will go a long way of rejuvenating, reinvigorating the Oscars as the prestige that it once was. I really hope that's the case. I really hope this is a turning point for modern cinema. God, I'm getting on my bloody soapbox, aren't I? That's what it says here anyway. That too. I think this is a watershed moment. This is the cinematic equivalent of knocking down the Berlin Wall. It's nothing like that. This is a movie. It's a 3-hour movie with actors in it. It's not real. But we're pinning all our hopes and dreams on this, aren't we, dear pipeheads? We want our friend Christopher Nolan and his secret weapon, who's really behind all of this, Emma Thomas, his partner, his wife, his lover, his producer. Now, there's somebody who needs to be celebrated more. And she's happy, I think, just to be, you know, kind of behind the scenes. But we all know, don't we, pipeheads, that Emma Thomas is the genius behind Christopher Nolan. He's simply able to articulate his vision. But to have someone like that by your side to bring your reality to life, wow, it's just unbelievable. I get so emotional when I think about it, because they are absolutely operating at the peak of artistry. It doesn't get any bigger than this. It doesn't get any bigger than this. Nolan is like Picasso. He is like Picasso. I'm sorry. That is what he will be looked back on. Now, there's others. There's other greats. Nolan is absolutely there. He's in his 50s, early 50s, I think. If he keeps his health and his motivation and his passion, we may have another 3 or 4 decades of this guy's work. Just think about that for a minute. And we just had Martin Scorsese drop Killers of the Flower Moon. He's in his 80s, for goodness sake. Michael Mann, he's in his 80s, for goodness sake. Spielberg's getting there. So we need to understand and respect Nolan, because he is important. It's bigger than us, it's bigger than him, but he is an important messenger for us. Oppenheimer is a message to humanity, whether you realize it or not. Anyway, this is an uncharacteristically earnest and sentimental... I'm just reading what's in front of me. I didn't write any of this shit, you know. But I think the writer, whoever... I don't see the writers, they're deliberately kept anonymous from us, so we can't seek retribution. You know, whoever wrote this for us, this script that I'm reading out now, because I just come in and read it. I don't read it before. I literally just turn the page and just keep reading. You know, that was actually written in the script. It said, pause, make a rustling sound, and then continue on with the script. But I mean, whoever wrote this clearly has a lifelong obsession with the work of Christopher Nolan and Emma Thomas. Has probably spent far too long debating, discussing, thinking, getting inspired by, pontificating on the work of Nolan. But as the Oscar ceremony see, that's weird, isn't it? They've done a really good job in the script of writing that out, like the sound, like the phonetical sound of so when I'm just seeing it for the first time, it's instinctive. It almost sounds like it was a sound that just came out of my mouth. But as we arrive closer to the Oscar ceremony on March 10th, I think it's clear that this episode will stick in the mind of many a pipehead as our friend Christopher Nolan and Emma Thomas ascend the stair to the stage of the Oscar ceremony to collect a rather weighty gold-colored statue of a gentleman who is fully nude, by the way, and will probably likely hold it in either their left or right hand, potentially staring down at it whilst delivering their acceptance speech, where they will go on to thank all their many collaborators. And we shall wistfully stand at attention and just really hope that the respect and the gratitude is extended to Christopher Nolan and Emma Thomas for Floppenheimer. Thank you very much. We knew the world would not be the same. A few people laughed. A few people cried. Most people were silent. I remember the line from the Hindu scripture, the Bhagavad Gita. Vishnu is trying to persuade the prince that he should do his duty. To impress him, takes on his multi-armed form and says, "Now I am become Movie Pipe, the destroyer of podcasts." I suppose we all thought that one way or another.